This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Connection with, amongst all of his names, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name that we have the most connection with amongst all of them is his name Al-Hadi, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the category is the category of attributes of positive control. And the category from yesterday, which is the attributes of correctional control, and the category of positive control, they're the categories where the names that have opposite meanings exist. So, al-nafi'u wa-d-dar. Al-nafi' is positive control, and al-dar is correctional control. Al-mu'izzu al-mudhil, positive control and correctional control. So when you look at these names, you find that this is how we break it down. Does this work? No, it doesn't work, eh? That's fine. When you go back to the slide that has the categories, you'll find that negative correctional control and positive control, these are the names that have, there they go. So you'll have the opposites from both sides. Al-basit, al-khafid, al-rafi' or al-basit, al-qabid, al-rafi' al-khafid, al-mu'izz, al-mudhil, etc. Nafi' al-dar. So when you study these names, you study them usually together. If you're to study one of these names, most of the time you study them when they come together. You have to put them together when you study them so you understand them. But this is how they're categorized. I chose within each category a name that doesn't have an opposite to it. Or if it does, it's less known. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the name Al-Hadi, and on the other side, Al-Mudil. So usually if you're going to study them, you're going to study them together so that you understand both sides of the name. One of them, positive control, that offers us something that nudges us towards khair. And the other one, which is the one that takes us back from difficulty, or the one that reminds us when we're in a state of sin. I chose Al-Hadi because it's an easier one to understand. It doesn't require too much explanation. In the Quran, it's only a couple of times. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides or deviates or sends him in a path of deviation away from his path, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. He will not find someone who will guide him. You find out a number of times in the Quran. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. To every nation, to every group of people, there is one who will grant them guidance, who would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ يَهْدِي السَّبِيلُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth, and He guides the way. جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. So Al-Hadi is the one who guides His creation, or guides His servants, to that which is which within their best interest. Or He guides them to that which will allow them to be functional, or that which will benefit them within their lives. Whether that might be general guidance, or whether it's talking about guidance of knowledge, or guidance of His faith, subhanahu wa ta'ala, either or apply. Let's talk about four different types of guidance. Number one, the general guidance. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. The one who granted everything a specific portion, this precise amount in this life, فَهَدَى, and guided it to what its function is going to be. In Surah Taha, قَالَ, when Musa answered, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. My Lord is the one that gave each and everything its creation, its form, and then He guided it. And that goes to every living thing. Birds. أَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ فِي جَوِّ السَّمَاءِ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Bees. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنْ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ ثُمَّ كُلِي مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ فَاسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ ذُلُلًا. Your T cells and B cells inside of your body, your immune system, somehow knows which way to go and what to take out, what to devour and send into your colon on its way out of your body, and what to leave alone. In the moment makes a mistake, you end up with something called autoimmune diseases, and you spend the rest of your life going back and forth to the doctor, taking steroids, and trying to figure out how you're going to function properly. Everything in this world is guided to do its function. And the moment it doesn't do its function, it's very obvious and it's very clear. The moment anything that he had guided subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform its job as it should doesn't find its way or forgets or makes a mistake, it becomes painfully obvious. It becomes painfully obvious to the world that there's something wrong. It causes complete dysfunction from ants that somehow know how to build their colonies and their hills and continue to function in a way that is within their best interest, to the ecosystem and every mammal within it. This is the general guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every living thing wakes up to this life and just figures out what the next step is. It's actually quite intriguing and beautiful to watch. Every living thing, within a couple of minutes after it's born, figures out its function and gets into the group that it's a part of and does its thing. It just moves like everything else, serving the purpose for what it was guided to serve. The only one out of all of that is the human being. That needs a little bit of coaching. It takes us longer than everyone else to figure out what we're going to do. That's the first level, the general guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers everything. The second level of guidance, the guidance of Iman. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers us the guidance of Iman, بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. It's indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who bestows his bounty upon you for the fact that he guided you to Iman. If you're true about your faith, then you will see yourself guided to Iman. You'll see Iman not as an achievement of your own, but rather as an act of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within your life. فَأَلْهَمَ وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. When he takes an oath, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the nafs and everything that goes into his creation, and he inspired it, for it to choose fujur and taqwa. No, it's guided to what is good and what is bad. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةً. Indeed, the human being has insight upon himself. The human being knows that which is beneficial, that which is harmful, that which is good. You can ask whatever fatawa you want. At the end, everybody knows deep down inside what the right choice is. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ أَوْ تَقُولُوا إِنَّمَا أَشْرَكَ آبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا ذُرِّيَّةً مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ أَفَتُهْلِكُنَا بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from Adam alayhi salam his dhurriya, this is figurative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from Adam alayhi salam all of his offspring. He showed Adam alayhi salam all of his offspring, and he spoke to the subconsciousness of all of his offspring, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concept here is symbolic and it's figurative. And you will say to them, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ, they'll say, yes, indeed you are. شَهِدْنَا, we bear witness to that. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is so that you don't come on the day of judgment and say that we were indifferent and oblivious and we'd never heard of this before. Or that our parents or the people who became before us, they chose associates and we were lost because they were lost before us. When you're granted guidance, it will waken up or awaken within you that which you always knew was the truth. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. Indeed, this Qur'an guides people to that which is best for them, which will allow them to function better. That's the second level of hidayah. Iman, general, and then Iman. Number two, he increases guidance to those who already have it. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى. He'll increase those who have already received guidance, he'll increase them in their guidance. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. When he speaks subhanahu wa ta'ala about the Ahlul Kahf, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. Indeed, they are people, they are youth who accepted, who found Iman in their Lord. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. And we increased them in their guidance. And you find that in the Quran a number of times. The increase in guidance. And then number four, he guides to Jannah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people who enter Jannah, the first thing that comes out of their mouths, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ Alhamdulillah, the one who guided us to this. And we would have never been guided to this, how had he not guided us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's their first conclusion. The first thing that comes out of their mouths when they enter Jannah is Alhamdulillah, he guided us to this. This is his guidance, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هَلْ مِن شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَن يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ Say any of your associates that you believe they guide to righteousness. قُلِ اللَّهُ يَهْدِي لِلْحَقِّ Say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to that which is righteous. أَفَمَن يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقُّ أَن يُتَّبَعَ أَمَّن لَا يَهِدِّي إِلَّا أَن يُهْدَى Say, which is more worthy of being followed? The one who guides to righteousness, guides to that which is correct, or the one who cannot find guidance? Yahdi, yahiddi means yahtadi. The one who cannot find guidance, illa and yuhda, except if they are guided themselves. فَمَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ What is wrong with you? Why don't you see this? When we look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us, each and every one of us sitting here has a story of guidance that is unique and different than the person beside them. Every person that finds their way to a masjid to sit and pray Salat al-Fajr and listen to something being said, that requires a degree of guidance. For you to be here, there's a level of guidance that was required in order for you to actually do this. What's the story of that guidance? You know, the only person who knows the story of that guidance is you. You're the only one who knows what actually occurred throughout your life that landed you in the seat that you're in right now. Because the seat that I am in and you are in, we are here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us levels of guidance one after the other throughout the entirety of our lives. And that's why we sit here. It's through His guidance, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't offer that to others. That's not something that we can for. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِهَادِ الْعُمْيِ عَنْ ضَلَالَتِهِمْ إِن تُسْمِعُ إِلَّا مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا فَهُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ You cannot guide the blind from their deviation and from their loss and aimlessness. You can just grant the person who's looking for something for to hear. إِن تُسْمِعُ إِلَّا مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ You can just grant the one who's looking for iman something for them to listen to, something that they can use for themselves. You can't. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ You can't force guidance on someone you love because you love them. That's probably the most difficult thing in the world. Probably one of the most difficult things in the world is to watch someone you love lack guidance and go astray and be misguided from his path, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the thing you want the most is for them to find guidance, but you can't guide the ones you love. When you study his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, regardless of what the end of Abu Talib's life was, and there is difference of opinion on this matter, by the way, that I'm not interested in getting into. But what we do know is that the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, as far as you could tell, Abu Talib didn't pass away in the way that he wanted him to. And this was a pain in his heart, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he lived with for the majority of his life. This is something that pain that brought him a lot of agony. A lot of upset that he could not get his uncle to say for him La ilaha illallah. He couldn't. He tried. He pushed as much as possible. He would tell him, "Just say it, and I'll take care of you. Just say it. Just say it, and it's on me. I'll carry everything. You'll be fine." And he wouldn't give him the word. Alayhi salatu wasalam watched his uncle pass away, and it was painful because there's nothing. It's a different type of pain for you to lose someone off the rails of iman, someone who just wouldn't, it's hard. But you don't guide the ones you love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whom He wants to guide. Some people are guided gradually. Sometimes guidance comes gradually. Like the story of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. When he tells the story, it took years, 5-6 years before he found guidance. And when he was asked to tell the story of his guidance, he would point out a moment in his life where he was, He had a young girl who served in the house, and she accepted Islam, so he persecuted her, and she persevered, and she showed more grit than he thought was possible for someone that age. And he asked her, "Why are you doing this?" And she said, "Atabak Allahu wa qawwani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you tired of me, because of this, and he has granted me strength to persevere as you go ahead and you push me out of this, and I'm not budging. So he said, in my mind, I thought, what is this? Yani, what did she find that's worth all of this that I'm doing to her, and she doesn't want to leave? And then he would make the tawaf a year later around the Kaaba and hear the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam reciting the Quran, and it would be the second time the Quran would touch his heart. And then he would see a lady with her infant walking out of Mecca, and he would ask her, "Where are you going?" And she would say, "I'm running, taking my deen and leaving, running away from people like you." And he felt that whatever he had done to cause this must have been, yeah, and he didn't agree with the consequence of his own behaviors. It took him a while. And then he finally decided to actually take the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's life, to end all of this furqa, all of this division. So he goes, but on his way, he's diverted by Ibn Mas'ud. And Ibn Mas'ud tells him, "Go, before you go kill the Prophet, go take care of your sister. He's been Muslim for years. You're going to go and harm someone. Go look at your family." So he's diverted. He goes to his sister's house. He pounds on the door. She had a scroll. She had written on it some Quran. So she hid it first and opened the door. He knew they were reading something on the inside. He could hear their voices. He asks for where the scroll is, and she refuses to show him anything. So he hits her. He hits her. She falls down. There's a little bit of blood out of her mouth. He feels bad. He sits down. He quiets down. He says, "I just want to see what it is that you're reading." So she told him, "Then just you're not good here. Go take a shower and then come, and I'll give you something to read." So he did. He went and he came back, and she gave him طَاهَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَن يَخْشَى تَنزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى." He put down the scroll and he went back to look for the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and this time he had a different light in his heart. But it took him time. It took him 6 years to find this. Some people find guidance with just a moment, with just a look. Just a look from the eye. A man called Husayn ibn Salam, later on to be known as Abdullah ibn Salam. He was one of the Ahbar of al-Yahud. He was one of the scholars of the Ahl al-Kitab tribes. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made it to Medina, he spent with his son a few nights rehearsing how they were going to expose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How they were going to expose that he was not the Prophet, that he was making it all up, because he knew all the questions that needed to be asked from the holy book, from the Torah. And he and his son rehearsed. They would do a rehearsal. "I'll ask this, and then you'll say that, and then you'll say this, and then I'll say that." It'll expose him to all people that he has no idea what he's talking about, and we can end this whole saga, and this whole story can be done with. We don't have to continue to deal with this guy. So they rehearsed all night, and then they went, and they knew he would, you know, the Prophet alayhi salam would have for fajr. So they went early in the morning, so they can do this, so they had enough time. So he would get and knock on his door alayhi salatu wasalam right after fajr. They are ready, they're rehearsed, they knock on the door. He opens up sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He looks at them. Abdullah ibn Husayn looks at him, قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأنك عبده ورسوله. With a look from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes. Some people find guidance like that. Some people find guidance with the word. Dumad al-Azdi was a man who was a Iraqi, and he was a person, yani nasab at that time, as they are today, honestly, for most of them, yani. The concept of needing to go to someone for ruqya is not, this has to be removed. This is a jahili thing. This happened back before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's life. They had someone who did this as a job, who would go around and act like they had the ability to remove spirits and take care of. This didn't happen. There was no raqi after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam became a prophet. Like none of the sahaba picked this up as a way to make a living. This is not, you have someone who needs ruqya, everyone in your house needs ruqya. You and all of your family members. Who does ruqya for them? You're going to go pay someone to come and do this? No, you do this yourself. Family members do it to one another. All you have to do is you know Surah Al-Fatiha. Khalas, you're good. You have 90% of what a ruqya is. You have Surah Al-Fatiha with you. There's a few ad'iyah that you make and a few verses that are known. You recite them on people. You sit there, recite, you make dua for them. That's your ruqya that you offer your family members. Do it all the time. Stop going and knocking on yukh's doors and even asking them for, "Can you come and do ruqya for Fulan and ruqya for Alan?" I don't like your family members more than you do. So it will work better coming from your mouth than it will ever come from me or anyone else. Aside from bringing them big jugs of water for them to recite Surah Al-Baqarah upon and then take it home and then do something with it. This is all, this is not, we have to stop this. Like we have to put a, maybe hit the brakes here and turn off the car and get out of it. Do ruqya for yourself. Anyways, Dumad al-Azdi, that's what he was, a raqi. He said he would come, someone who came to the, would come and, so he came, he was told the Prophet alayhi salam was someone who had lost his mind. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came to me and started telling him, "Ya bin akhi, إن كان فيك كذا فعلنا لك كذا وإن كان فيك وأرقيك if there's jinn in you or if there's a shaytan in you or if you're sick or something wrong with you I can offer you. And he's sitting down and he's telling the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام this utter nonsense. Just nonsense. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was listening to him. When he's done, قال إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستهديه وأستغفره من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا فقال الضماد أعد علي ما قلت. And Dhamad said, say that again please. So he said, إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستهديه وأستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني عبده ورسوله من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. He said, أعد علي ما قلت. Say it one more time. So he said it one more time. فقال ما بك من مرض وإني سمعت الشعراء وشعرهم وسمعت الكهنة وأقوالهم وسمعت السحرة وشعوذاتهم. I have walked the earth. وإني دخلت في ناعوس البحر. I went all around the earth. I made it to the middle of the sea. I've heard the words of poets. I've heard the words of sorceries. I've heard the words of magicians. فوالله ما الذي تقوله بشيء من هذا. What you're saying right now is nothing. None of that. فابسط يدك بايعني على الإسلام. Put your hand out and let me enter to whatever it is that you're calling for. فقال اشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني عبده ورسوله. Make bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that I am His messenger. فقال فبسط يده ضماد وقال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. فقال وعلى قومك. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said and your people as well. فقال وعلى قومي. And I'll take care of my people. فذهب ضماد إلى قومه. And he would take himself, he can go and spend time with his people. And later on as Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid was cleaning up Arabia after Surah At-Tawbah, he came upon ضماد الأزدي's people. And he took from them a qirbat ma, like you would say, he found a qirba, is basically a container of water that they used to use. فَقَالَ مِنْ أَيْنَ أَتَيْتَ بِهَا عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. Where you get this hadith in Muslim? Where you get this from? فَقَالَ مِنْ قَوْمِ كَذَا. قَالَ أُولَئِكَ قَوْمُ ضُمَادٍ. That's the people of ضُمَاد. رُدَّهَا إِلَيْهِمْ. Take it back to them. And he had guided his people, رضي الله عنه وارضاه. Some people will find guidance through a word. Everyone's different. Your story is your story. Your story of guidance is unique to you. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. You say this 17 times a day minimum. You say this 17 times a day minimum. In Ramadan, well, it's way more than that. In Ramadan, depending on how many rak'ahs you're praying, it goes up to 30 or more. Anyone who's putting a microphone to your mouth and recording your words who does not know you and then takes a transcription of everything that you said all day and analyzes it, you know, just to see what you said, what came out of your mouth for 24 hours, will conclude that this dude seems to really care about guidance. This person seems to be very obsessed with guidance. I have here 17 times he seems to turn to God and ask God for guidance. Every day you do this. You do this every day till the day you die. You keep on asking him, اهدنا الصراط, اهدنا الصراط. You would think at some point maybe you graduate and move on to another request within the Quran. Every day it's the same thing that you'll ask. Because there's no end to how guided you can be, just like there's no end to how misguided you can be. There is no end. This is not an accomplishment. Hidayah is not a point in time or space that you reach. Hidayah is a path that you keep on walking. The beauty of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that there's no limit to it. Two physical things, they can only get so close before they are on top of each other or they're the same point. Two points in space can become close, only so close to the point where they'll become the same point. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not physical space, Jalla Jalaluhu. So there's no end to how close you can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can always have more guidance. The amount of guidance that you can receive in this world is infinite. It's infinite. There's no end to how much guidance you can have. And that is what you want. Apparently that's what you want. That's what you ask for every day, time and time again. Ihdina, guide us. Allow us to find the proper way. Allow us to walk this path a little bit better. Allow us to make sure that we're walking a little bit more focused. Make sure that we're perfectly straight, right in the middle. No left, no right. Ihdina. You continue to ask for this. And since you're asking for it, make sure that your behaviors in your life reflect the fact that this is how much you want it. Or else you're saying something and then you're living differently. And it makes no sense. How do we live with his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Hadi? Number one, be very grateful Be very grateful that he got. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No nafs will find iman except through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't mean that you're forced. Doesn't mean that you have no choice. No. He grants you guidance, or grants you the ability to get closer to guidance. He opens your heart to guidance based on your willingness. Based on your willingness. Based on how much you want it. Based on what you show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from yourself. The sincerity and the honesty and the truthfulness of wanting something, He'll grant you closer and closer. But without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, you can't get there. It's impossible. So be grateful. Do not ever use your guidance as a way or means to be arrogant or to look down or condescend towards people or to categorize people in a way that is negative. When using something that He granted you as the ultimate gift in this existence is life. A close second is hidayah. A really close second is hidayah. Some scholars will flip them and say, no, hidayah is the ultimate gift because there's no value to your life if you don't have guidance in it. It's a reasonable argument as well. So be very grateful that He granted you guidance. The second thing you do is offer others guidance. Be the door through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants His servants guidance. Be the means of guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants guidance. How does He grant guidance? Yeah? Does He not grant it through people? The majority of time it's through human beings. It's through others. Be the tool through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what the prophets were. Yeah? The prophets worked for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were the door. Yeah? They were the method through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided His people. Be that. Be someone who does that. That's the best thing you can be. There's nothing better that you can be in this life rather than being the tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use to grant others guidance. It doesn't mean they have to sit on a place like this and run your mouth every day. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who's better in this world? Who's better? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا. Who will say anything better than the person who calls to Allah and then they live life appropriately? وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. They do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to do, and then they say, we're a Muslim. They do it as they are Muslim. Your actions will guide better. Your actions are a better source of guidance than your words. If you live life to its fullest, if you are successful, if you do a lot of good things as a Muslim, that will guide people more than sitting here and speaking for an eternity. Than sitting here and talking. Last year, I think it was last year or the year before, I can't remember. I was doing tafsir of this ayah specifically, it was a weekend, in Surah Fussil, from Ahsan al-Qawla. So I tried to make this point, clear. So I said, amongst the things I was saying that sometimes like specific actions will mean more to people from a guidance perspective than years and years of khutbas. And I use the example of the punch that Khabib landed back a few years before. That one punch seemed to have more of it. And then someone took the one of the brothers here who took the that's what I was told. I don't know. I didn't see it. I don't have the social media app that it's on. But I was told that they broke it. They tried to take this down and make it into a short video, and it. I think the way that it sounded didn't sound very good. It ended up sounding like something. Not what I was trying to say, and it caused a lot of controversy. And unfortunately, I think I caused more controversy with saying that than guidance for sure. but this is something that I still believe is true, is that your actions will speak louder than your words by far. And this is not something that I have to defend. This is common knowledge. You want to grant people guidance, your actions will speak louder. Don't worry if you don't have the capacity to go on a minbar and give a khutbah. Really, the limitation of these things is quite clear. Like the capacity for which, how many people actually benefit from that is not. But what you do does. What you do goes everywhere. If you are someone who is successful, someone who leaves an impact on earth, and you are a Muslim and you're a good Muslim as you do it, that changes the world. That really does. That has way more impact than a lot of the things that we say. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعَمِ. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide one person for you, through you. One person is better for you than for you to own all of the riches of the world. For you to be the richest person in the world, no. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just guides one person through you, then that's better for you than all the riches. أَحَبُّ عِبَادِي إِلَيَّ مَنْ رَدَّ إِلَيَّ ضَالًّا. The most beloved servant of mine is someone who brings back someone who is misguided. It's as if you're saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll take care of it. I'll bring them back to you. I'll take upon myself the, I'll bring them back. This is your servant. You love your servant. If your servant has gone astray, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of him for you. I will go after him and make sure he finds his way back to you, Ya Rabb. Because I know you love him. I know you want them back. I know you want them to find their way back to you. Want them to find guidance. I will make sure that I stick with it. That I stick with it and I continue to help them until they find their way back to you. There's nothing in this world that is more beautiful and more poetic than doing that. And for you to find a way to offer someone else guidance. And it's something to, you know, to think about. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanallah, bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair. Barakallahu feekum.